And the morning that she had got up, she had just kind of talked about having a rough night and not feeling great. She had a fever. Days before, she had mentioned that she had a boil, and I had assured her, oh, that's nothing, it's fine, it'll go away on its own. But even like her breathing sounded kind of funny. So with COVID, I wasn't sure with rules and stuff. So I phoned 811, and they had just advised us to take her to our local emergency. And they brought her in and decided they were gonna lance the boil. So she was awake for that. So I sat there and held her hand through that. She chatted throughout it. She was fine. It went well. I used to hit every wall there was. Shortly after, they let her just kind of sleep for a bit, said that was normal. And then she wasn't really herself. She was kind of groggy and out of it. She went from just kind of being a little bit out of it to non-responsive. I had to have faith I'd find no fear. We got to the hospital about 11 o'clock that morning, and come midnight, they had decided that she was going to Calgary. And they said that she was going into diabetic shock. I want the world to just keep on turning. To hear that she was diabetic, I didn't accept it. I was, no way, you know, I'm a mom that is very involved with my kids, and I'm thinking, how could you say that? I would know if my daughter was diabetic. And her only symptom that we didn't know until dealing with the diabetic clinic was that she drank a lot of water. She was only allowed one parent in at a time, and I thought, well, I'm not leaving her. So I phoned my husband, and I'm like, I don't know what you have to do to get in here, but I'm like, get in here, because I can't do this. I don't know what's going on. So he came through the doors, and just at that moment, the doctor, he comes in and he's like, guys, we're gonna have Stars come and airlift her to Calgary. So we went back in her room. My husband and I held her hand and said, you know, hang in there. We'll see you in Calgary. We floored it to Calgary, and it was the darndest thing to go through the city at that time. It was like we were the only vehicle on the road. In some ways, I remember the trip being very fast, and in some ways, it felt like it was taking forever. I want peace, love, and understanding. She was in a coma. She was non-responsive. They had set up insulin infusion. At one point, they had to move her to a bigger room in the ICU because they needed to be able to accommodate all the machines. There were so many. Her whole wall was all lit up, and anything that was lit up on the screen, she was hooked to. So in the morning, it was brought to our attention that she had sepsis. Her leg, where her boil was, so that incision had tested positive for a staph infection. Her body was filling up with the sepsis. They had to give her such a strong antibiotic, and one of the side effects for it is troubles with kidneys, which she absolutely had. Her kidneys were working at 6% function, so basically they weren't working. They set her up on the dialysis machine. All of this while in coma. They had done brain scans, EEGs and EKGs and MRIs and CTs and blood work. We just wanted her to wake up. We just took everything as it came, because the list just kept growing. We had so many teams, like, to look outside her door in the ICU. It was not uncommon to see 13 people standing there on rounds, and they're dedicated to put her pieces back together. I talked to her just like she'd be awake. I would read her Facebook stuff and, you know, your brother's working or your sister's doing this, or, hey, I talked to grandma, you know. And there was a few times that I would be having my mom or somebody on the phone with me and just putting the phone by her ear so that maybe the sound of their voice would help wake her up. No fear. She was in a coma for 3.5 days. She seemed to be scanning the room a little bit more with her eyes, like she was nonverbal and didn't understand initially when she woke up. It was like, hey, she's here. The people at Children's Hospital, like the diabetic team, is like unimaginable. I mean, they're always there anytime I needed to call. They would guide me through everything with advice and emails, phone calls. They followed her right through today, like all the way through. When I'm alone, let the only sound be no fear. When they first came in and they're like, she's going to be insulin dependent, you have to know how to do this. And in my mind, I'm going, I can't give my child a needle. There's no way. I can't do this. I used to run away from love. When you don't have a choice, it becomes a little bit easier. I was horrified. I was like, there's no way. I don't know what we're going to do, but like, I can't do this. I had to have faith. We totally can. We had a crash course when we were there. I mean, we had 3 days to learn everything we need to know for the rest of our life. And it's down to a science. What we went through, you can't prepare for. All the extra help saved her life. If we hadn't gotten there when we did, she might not be with us. So without the team, like, she had so many people that were rooting for her. They're just so amazing. I mean, the support that they gave us, even when in a coma, they treated her like she was still a person, that she mattered. No fear. They weren't gonna give up. No fear. And they didn't.